Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Babasra daf Nun Zayin. We are holding a daf Nun Vavim base 2 lines from the end of the page at the 2 dots. Shlosha Achin ve'echod mitztarif imahin. Today's show is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Alea Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They shall return home safely. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So the first thing we're going to discuss is the concept of brothers combining for the same edus. We had already mentioned the idea that if you have 3 brothers, each testify about 1 year that the person had been in the karka, and then you had another aid testify about all 3 years, that counts as a chazaka, even though you're relying on testimony of all of the brothers together. So we're going to talk about when may you and when may you not rely on a single testimony that involves brothers within that testimony. Then the Mishnah on Amud Aleph is going to change the conversation from the Cheskas Gimel Shanim and Kinyan Chazaka to a third type of Chazaka, Cheskas Tashmishin. That sometimes if you use something that belongs to somebody else, we assume, and he doesn't say anything about it, we assume that there is a Mechila. We assume that he has granted you the right to use that item. If you use it in a way that otherwise an owner would normally be makbid about, it would be damaged toward an owner. So we're going to go through different things that would constitute a cheskas tashmishin, where you can say, I may continue to do this because you haven't said anything until this point. It's a raya that that I have the rights to it. And other cases where you cannot assume a cheskas tashmishim. Then the Gemara is going to point out that there seems to be a disconnect between the Reisha and the Seifa of the Mishnah, because the Reisha says that if you put your animals in somebody's field, that is not a cheskas tashmishim. But if you build a fence around the animals that you put in his field, or you build any sort of fencing in his field, that is a cheskas tashmishim. And the Gemara is troubled as to why that distinction should exist. Normally, people would be makbid about either one of those things. So why is one yes a cheskas tashmishim and one not a cheskas tashmishim? So the Gemara is going to have 3 approaches to answer that question. That's probably the longest sugya of the daf. And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to talk about the privacy of kvisa, of doing laundry. And it has ramifications as far as cheskas tashmishim is concerned, that if I live in a chatzar and I want to do kvisa within that chatzar, even though I have a shutaf in that chatzar, can my shutaf stop me from doing kvisa? Or can I say, look, where do you want me to do it? I should go down to the river. It's a very public area. So the assumed privacy of kvisa has ramifications for chazaka and being able to do the kvisa in the chatzar. And it also has ramifications for shmiras einayim that we're going to talk about as well. And then the daf is going to conclude with a whole list of hanhagos that a Talmud Chacham typically can be expected to practice. The typical hanagos of a Talmud Chacham, and in certain cases, contrasting it with the hanagos of an Am Ha'aretz. So sometimes the way a person behaves, you could sort of tell if they're a Talmud Chacham or an Am Ha'aretz, even if you don't talk to them in learning. That there are certain hanagos of tznius and the like that relate to a Talmud Chacham more so than, and the opposite, that relate to an Am Ha'aretz. So let's begin 2 lines from the bottom of the page on Daf Nun Vavam Beis. Shlosha Achin Ve'echon Mitztarif Yiman Arei Shlosha Duyos Ve'nei Desachas La'azama. That if you have 3 brothers and one of them is Mitztarif together with them, meaning each of the 3 brothers testifies about 1 year that somebody was in the karka, and then another aid testifies about all 3 years, so that's 3 eduyos, but it's a single edus for hazama. So says the Gemara, and what that means is that if you want to be mazim, then you have to be mazim as kulam, but when it comes to them doing kasher zamam, then paying kasher zamam lasos liachiv, so the one aid that testifies about 3 years pays for half of it, of what he tried to cost the guy, and the 3 brothers will each pay for 1/6. So everyone pays their fair portion. But you see that it does count as an edus, even though there are brothers involved. And the Rashbam had explained, and we'll explain again throughout this sugya, that brothers generally cannot testify together, but that's because brothers are considered like one aid. No matter how many brothers you have, you put them all together, and they count as one aid. Well, what would happen if you had one aid testify about 3 years, and then another aid also testify about 3 years? That's shnei edim of edus chazaka. So that would work perfectly really if you count these three brothers as a single eid. So says Gemara, Ushtara Davchasima Le Beitrei. There was a shtar that two eidim were signed on, and the malvin needed to be mekayim the chasimos ha'edim in the shtar. The halacha is that on a daraisa level, once there are signatures on the shtar, it's nasach mishnechre edusim bebezdin. There is no din of kiyum shtaros mida araisa. The shtar is mekayim itself. The fact that you have signatures in the shtar is as good as edus and bezdin. The chacham, however, mesakein that you need to be mekayim shtar in order that the lova should not be able to come with a taina that it's mezuyaf. So the lova would otherwise say that shtar is a forged document. So therefore, the chacham were mesakein that we do kiyum shtaros. Now the Gemara in Ksubas has a machlokas, Rebbe and the chachamim, exactly how we do kiyum shtaros. The chacham say that each of the edim that are signed in the shtar says ze ksav yadi, and the other, and each eid does not have to testify about ksav yado shel chavero. They just need to verify their own ksav yad, because eidei akiyum are not being made on the eidei akiyum are not being made on the chasima that it's theirs, but they're being made on the halva'a, on the amount of money that's in the shtar. Meaning, if I'm being made on my signature, well then I can't be made alone on my signature. I'm only one aid, so that shouldn't work. But the Chacham say it's not what they're doing. When they say Zek Savyadi, they're saying, yes, that's my signature, because this shtar is valid, because what it says in the shtar is true. So if each of the eidim say Zek Savyadi, then you have two eidim testifying about what it says in the shtar. And that's how you mekayim, the shtar. So it's Shnei Eidim on the actual amount in the shtar itself. So that's the shita of the Chachamim that we're going to be assuming like. So you have two eidim that were signed on the shtar, but then Shachiv Chad Minayu, one of the eidim died, and therefore you cannot use him to be mekayim his own chasima because he's dead. So asa achua dahay dekoi v'chad achrina. The brother of the other aid came along with a third party, with another person, to testify about the signature of the deceased aid, thereby being mekayim the shtar. Had the aid not died, each of the aidim could be made on his own ksav yad, according to the chachamim. But over here, you needed shnei aidim on the second chasima, because they can't testify about the content of the shtar. They weren't there. They weren't signed on the original shtar. So they need to testify about the signature. Okay, so I need two eidim to testify about a signature. So Ravina said, okay, that's perfect. Nothing wrong with that. That's just like our Mishnah. Shlosh achim vechim mitzarif imayin. That three brothers, and one of them could be mitzarif with, and one other person could be mitzarif with all three brothers. And the Mishnah says that since the brothers are not being made about the same year, it's not a psul kurva, and the edus works for chazaka. So Rav Nachman said, oh, same thing's happening over here with this kiyum shtar. The aid of the surviving aid is made with his brother, but on two different things. The surviving aid is being made on his own signature. The brother's being made on the other guy's signature. So let it combine and let it work. There's nothing, no reason that it shouldn't work. Now Tosos points out that we could have been mekayim the shtar with the aid, with the living aid writing his own signature on a piece of cheres, and then based in bringing two aidim to testify by comparing the signatures that's ksav yado, and then you wouldn't have needed two brothers. You wouldn't have had to, meaning you're not forced into having the two brothers. Even if this surviving aid's brother is one of the only two people on earth that recognizes the signature of the other aid, well, we have another option. The living aid, you can utilize the fact that he's alive and have him sign again, sign somewhere else, and then you'll be able to be mekayim the signature by getting a handwriting expert to compare the two signatures. The Gemara in Ksuba says that you'd be able to be mitzarif. But Ravina wanted to say that you don't need to do that because anyway it's okay. So Amalei Ravashi. Ravashi said back to Ravina, "Mi dami, how can you compare that to the case of our Mishnah? Hasam, in our Mishnah, the Edim that are brothers that are being made together with this other guy, but each of the brothers are being made about a separate year. Lo nafak nechira v'demona pumedachi. You don't have brothers taking a disproportionate amount of the money, meaning half of the Edos is this, the combination of these three brothers, and half of the Edos is the other guy, because the other guy is testifying about 3 years, and each of the brothers is testifying about 1 year. So it turns out that half of the amount of money that you're taking away from the fellow is based on the brothers. So all the brothers are combining into a single Edos, right? That's what we keep pointing out. The Rashbam says that the brothers are, the din of brothers is that they're all considered an Ed Echad. And even though brothers are Krovim, they could be meyud. The edus is kasha, because when the Torah says that you can't have edus of krovim, that's because they're considered one person. But and you need two edim in general for edus. But legavi chazaka, you don't have that problem, because one of them is the guy that's being meyud with them is being meyud on all 3 years, and these three brothers combined are being meyud on all 3 years. Hacha, but in the case of the shtar, nafik lechiriva demona apumida achi, you're taking three quarters of the money is coming from brothers. So the surviving brother and his brother, and the surviving aid and his brother ultimately account for three quarters of the edus, because half of the money you're taking al pi edus the surviving aid by him recognizing his own chasima. And the other aid is half recognized by a brother, so that turns out to three quarters of the money. The Miri raises the question that if the psul of Edom Krovim is that they're considered like a single individual, like the Rashbam keeps saying, that that's the problem with Krovim, that Krovim is considered a single individual, so then it should be Mechayev Shvua, meaning an Eid Echad Kenegdo is Chayev Shvua. If one aid says that you owe money, you're chayiv shvuah. So if you say, so what would be the halacha if two brothers testify that somebody owes money? So the halacha is not chayiv shvuah. The Gemara Makos says nimtzu echad min edim karav apostle tibatal edusam, that the edus is completely batal. We completely throw them out. So it doesn't sound chayiv anything. But if it has a din of eid echad, why is it not chayiv anything? So the Miri says whenever you have shnei krovim that are meidim in edus achas, the psul is not really, because they're ish echad. It's possible because of gzeres hakasov of lo yimsu avos albanim, and therefore the edus is completely thrown out. But in this case of kiyum shtar, the two brothers are not being made edus achas mamish. One is being made on his own signature, and the other one is being made on the other guy's signature. So you can't be mevatel their edus based on nimsechon yam karav apostle. So then the Rashbam is being mechadesh. There's another psul that Krovim are considered like a single aid, and that's going to be a problem in this case. So generally speaking, says the Meiri, the real reason why brothers can't testify is because it's Gzeres HaKosov, that Lo Yimsu Avos Albanim, that there's that relatives cannot testify together. But if they're actually being made about separate things, and we're just trying to combine that information to form one edus, so then you don't have that problem with Yimsu Avos Albanim. You only have the problem that Rashbam raises, that they're all considered a single single person. But that's the chiluk the Gemara makes, that in the case of our Mishnah, it's acceptable to have the three brothers because they're all told, all the brothers together are doing half of the edus, which they're allowed, which is fine. Whereas in the case of the shtar, that one of the Edom died, if you have a brother testifying about his own signature and another brother testifying about the other guy's signature, more than half is going to be taken away based on the Edos of the brothers. So now we move on to the next Mishnah, Cheskas Tashmishim. So we're going to have a series of Mishnayos about Cheskas Tashmishim, that a person uses somebody else's Nechasim and the other guy just doesn't say anything. So that creates a Chazaka, and he cannot stop you from continuing to use his property. However, it does not mean that you are the owner of the property. That's where this is different, right? The chazaka is that you're allowed to continue to use it the way you have been using it. You cannot use it in any other way. The balakarka is also allowed to use the property because it's still his, but the assumption is, by the fact that he saw you using it in this way and didn't say anything, that either you purchased the rights to use it in this way,
or he was mochel the rights and he gave you the rights to use it in this way. This chazaka only works if you do a davar kavua in someone else's rishus. You lean your beams against the wall, that your friend's wall, where clearly it's meant to stay there, or it's the type of tashmish that's going to cause damage to somebody else. You open a window into his rishus in a way that's going to be mazikim or something like that. But someone who's mishtamish b'rishus chaveru without doing any davar kavua, so then that doesn't generate a cheskas tashmishin, and the guy could stop you whenever he wants. Now, when it comes to cheskas gimel shanim, we said kol chazaka sheni matayna in a chazaka, right? That's a basic klal of cheskas gimel shanim. You can't just say, "Well, I've been here for 3 years, no one said anything, so it must be mine." No, it doesn't work. You have to say, "And I bought it, and I yarshined it, and this one," but you have to have some sort of taina. So yeshiva bakarka for gimel shanim alone does not generate a chazaka. By cheskas tashmishim sheini matayna, that's a machlokas rishonim. There is a group of rishonim, the Rashbam and Daf Mem Aleph, Tosos and Daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, the Rashba, and this is quoted in the Rama and Shulchan Aruch, that hold that by cheskas tashmishim you also need a taina, that we don't find a chazaka without a taina. So if the mishtamish is moda that he's been using it simply because the other guy hasn't said anything, that is not a valid chazaka. He has to say, "And I bought it, I got it as a matana." He has to have some sort of explanation. However, there is a large group of Rishonim, the Ramban, the Rivam quoted in Tosos, the Tosos Rid. The Rambam seems to assume this way in the 8th paragraph of Hilchos Shechinim, that hold the Cheskas Tashmishim works even without a Taina. The Baal Habayis sees you using his property and he doesn't say anything. That's a raya that he was mochel. The Chazaka Sheinim Ataina, in a Chazaka, is only when you're being machzik in the ownership of the land itself, in the guf hakarka, because in that case you would need to do a real kinyan, a mechila would not work. The fact that the bailum is shosek is not better than a mechila mufreshes, and even a mechila mufreshes is not a kinyan, right? But when it comes to tashmishim, mechila is a, meaning mechila does work, because I'm just being mochel the usage of this item. So that therefore the bailum being shosek is a presumed mechila and is going to work. So you don't actually need a tainus. That's one major machlokas rishonim, where the chazaka sheini mataina works for cheskas tashmishim. Another major machlokas rishonim is how long does it take to develop a cheskas tashmishim? By a chazaka in the ownership of the karaka, you need 3 years. So do you need 3 years for cheskas tashmishim? So the reason that you need 3 years by a chazak in the karka, the Gemara says, because within 3 years the person is still expected to guard the shtar, make sure it doesn't get lost, and if he doesn't have a shtar, it's a counter-indicator. It's an indicator that he never was kona the karka. But only after 3 years, when it's not expected that a person is going to hang on to the shtar, so then he could say that he lost his shtar, and the chazak is going to be a raya that it is his karka. By cheskas tashvishim, some of the rishonim say cheskas tashvishim is just like cheskas karkaos, and you need 3 years of the bailum not being melcha, whereas others say the chazaka does not require 3 years. You use it shah achas in front of the bailum and he doesn't say anything, that's a chazaka, and the Baal Habayis now no longer has the right to ask you to stop using the karka in the way that you've been using it. Now, even those who say that it doesn't require 3 years, there's a further machlokas rishonim, so how long does it take? You know, for an instant, I just used someone else, so that's it. Now I have a chazaka, so some rishonim say that it's not right away. It has to be once it's clear that there's hezek through this tashmish, and the Baal Habayis saw that you're using it in a way that generates hezek, and he's not ma'arer. That's the way you get from the lashon of the Rambam. The Rambam in the 7th paragraph of Shechinim, Halacha Vav, writes sheyoda hanezek v'lo irer, that he knew that there's a damage, that you're using his property in a damaging way, and you didn't say anything. The Rambam in the Pirush Mishnah also says ve'in tzarech chazakal nizakin gimel shanim v'umasha amarnu ein din chazaka b'nizakin v'gam kein lo avi chazaka b'am li'alter elu k'shiyamer osa ha'nezak k'dei shiyuchalom elu osa shuza k'var nispayasla kivin shalom achisa alav, that there's a clear nezak and the guy can say you must have been okay with it because you did not make a macha about it. So that is one understanding within the shita that you don't need gimel shanim. Others say that there is an objective time period, and that is shloshim yom, that it needs to be the right Maivit says 30 days that you're using it. Only then you have a cheskas tashmishim. And then yet other Rishonim say that any tashmish of kviyus will have a chazaka miyad. It will immediately be chazaka. Meaning I build my beams in a way where they're resting on your wall. What did you think? I was going to move it in 5 minutes? Meaning I'm building it into the... So if it's tashmish kavua, so then right away it's going to be cheskas tashmishim. Okay, so those are the two major machlokas about cheskas tashmishim in terms of how we compare it to cheskas gimel shanim. Machlokas number one is doesn't need a taina, and machlokas number two is doesn't need gimel shanim. So says the Mishnah, elu dvarim sheish lehem chazaka. The following things, let's go with the Rashbam, who says you need shalosh shanim. The following things, if you use it for 3 years, it will be a chazaka. If the owner doesn't make a macha'a, and you could say that the guy gave you the right to use this, to use the property in this way, or he sold you the rights. Veil dvarim sheish lehem chazaka. And there are other activities and usages of land where you're not going to be able to claim a chazaka. So hayamavid behema b'chatzer, if you put your animal in your friend's chatzer, or tanur, you set up an oven to bake things in your friend's chatzer, or a chayim, a mill, v'kirayim, or a stove, which is just a smaller oven that doesn't generate nearly as much heat. For those doing the dirshu mishabur yomi, there was a lot about the difference between a tanur and a kirayim, that the tanur generates, not just generates, maintains its heat. The assumption of the Talmudic tanur is you heat the oven today, tomorrow it's still hot, it's still very, very hot. So that's why we assume, bizman hazeh, that none of our tanur our tanurim, that we don't have a tanur anymore. We have everything we have is a kira, a chapsin afkamina for Hilchos Shabbos, because by a tanur, even if it's garuf akatum, you can't do shihia on a tanur, because the heat is enough to cook, even if you sweep out the coals. So we assume that garuf akatum works on all of our stovetops and the like. So tanur v'kiraim you set up in your neighbor's chatzar, umegadol tarnagolim, or if you raise chickens in his chatzar, v'nosin zivlo b'chatzar, or you leave all your manure that you want to use for your fields in his chatzar, and you do that for 3 years, says the Rashbam, ain't a chazaka. That is not a chazaka that you could say, that you're automatically going to be believed to say that he has sold you the rights to do that, because the Baal HaChatzar is not going to be makbar on these things. These are all metaltalim. They could be here today, gone tomorrow. So he figures he'll let you have your day, he'll let you have your time, and as soon as he really needs it for other things, he'll throw you out. But he doesn't need to throw you out right away, because you didn't really like put your flag down. You didn't really stake a claim to a permanent usage of the karka. Aval, but if he makes a mechitza for his behema that's 10 tvachim tall, or he makes a mechitza around his oven or his mill, hichnis tarnagolim l'toch habayis, or he brings the tarnagolim into your house, v'asa makom l'zivlo, or he designates a place in your chatzer to keep his zevel that's amuk shlosha, that's 3 tvachim deep, or gavah shlosha, or is 3 tvachim high, harezu chazaka. That's a chazaka, because that's already a tashmish of kviyus, and if the guy didn't say anything, that means he must have sold it to you or given you that right to use it. So now says the Gemara, Maishna Resha Umaishna Seifa. Why in the first half of the Mishnah, where I leave my behema in your chatzer, that's not a chazaka, but in the end of the Mishnah, where I build a fence around my behema in your chatzer, that is a chazaka. Just like it's a chazaka when I build a fence, because it would be normal for you to be makbid about it, I would have thought you'd be makbid about me leaving my behemos in your chatzer all the time. That I decided that your chatzer is the place where my behemos are going to stay. So the Gemara is going to have three different approaches. The first approach compares chazaka as far as cheskas tashmishim with chazaka of kinyan, right? In this parak, we've spoken about three types of chazaka. There's cheskas gimel shalim, there's a kinyan chazaka, na'al gadar uparat, and now there's this type of chazaka, cheskas tashmishim. So the first approach compares it to cheskas kinyan, to na'al gadar uparat. That, so says the Gemara, Amar Ula, Kol she'ilu b'nichse hager kana, any tashmish that if you would use that property in nichse hager, it would qualify as a kinyan in the nichse hager, meaning the ger dies without any yarshim, and therefore it's hefker. So if you do a real form of kinyan, you become the owner of the nichse hager. So whatever is a valid form of kinyan on karka, b'nichse chavero kana, if you use your friend's karka in that way for 3 years, that's a cheskas tashmishim in that karka. Whatever would not be a null gadur paratz, whatever would not be considered a valid form of kinyan in nichse ager, b'nichse chaveru lo kana. Then even if you're machzik for 3 years, it's not a chazaka of tashmishim either. It's not a raya that he sold you or gave you the rights to use the property in that way. Oh, so now I understand. I put my behema in someone's karka. That is not a null gadur paratz. That's not a kinyan in nichse ager. So mimela, that doesn't create Cheskas Tashmishim, but I build a fence that's 10 tvachim tall in Nichse Ager. That's Noal. That's a Gadar. That's Gadar. That's Noal Gadar Uparatz. That's an actual Kenyan. That's an actual Kenyan Chazaka. So Memela, that works as a Cheskas Tashmishim as well. So the Gemara is going to challenge this, but L'chora, the Gemara could have challenged this in a number of ways because we had said in the Seifa of our Mishnah that if you put your Tarnagolim in the Chatzar, in Chatzar Chaver, that's a kinyan. So what do you mean? That's not a kinyan in Nichse Hager because it's not Nol Gadur Uparatz. So why would that be a kinyan on the Cheskas Tashmishim? So the Rashbam writes that, yeah, the Gemara could have asked that, but the Gemara asks stronger kashas. Okay, so what's the Gemara's challenge to this? So the Gemara has a whole bunch of challenges. Masgrav Sheshes, Uklalu, is that really the klal? What counts as Nol Gadur Uparatz is going to count as a valid Cheskas Tashmishim? Vahre Nir, what about plowing karka that belongs to your friend? In Nichse Ager, you put a shovel in the ground, that's Nol Gadur Paratz, right? That for sure is a kinyan. You plow the field for 3 years, you are not kona the right to plow the field, because the Bailam doesn't mind when you plow his field, right? I mean, it has to be something that's damaging to the field. He sees it, he's plowing his field, he's like, shkayach, that's wonderful. You shovel the snow in his driveway for 3 years straight. It doesn't mean you have any rights to his driveway. He's just very thrilled that you love to use your snowblower so much. You know, so that's fantastic. But that's not a cheskas tashmishin. And furthermore, vare achilas peiros, a person eats the peiros from his friend's karka, to b'nichse chaveiro kana, which is, if you do that for 3 years, that you're kona the karka, b'nichse chaveiro, whereas b'nichse ager, lo kana, meaning that's a cheskas tashmishim, that obviously you're allowed to use the peiros of this karka, because the guy was not mochen, it's very damaging to him, but b'nichse ager, it's not a kana, because it's not kona, because you didn't do any tikkun in the gufa karka, it wasn't all gadru parat. So you see that Ula's equation is off. You can't compare chazaka b'nichse ager to cheskas tashmishim, and therefore we're back to our kasha. What's the difference between the resha and the seifa? Why in the resha, when I dump my animal in your chatzar, is that not a cheskas tashmishim? But in the seifa, when I build a fence around my animal that's in your chatzar, that is a cheskas tashmishim. So the Gemara says, okay, we need a second answer. Ella amar Rav Nachman amar Rabba bar Avua. So they say, really, if a stranger dumps his animal in your chatzar that he has no shaychus to, eino chinami, that would be a chazaka, because b'nei chatzar are typically makbid, that some outsider shouldn't just come and leave their animals here. And eino chinami, if you would not make a macha about that, it's a raya that you purchase the right to do that. That's not what our Mishnah is about. Hacha, the case of our Mishnah and the resh of our Mishnah, where we said that putting your animal in a chatzar is not a cheskas tashmishim, it's b'chatzar ashut. It's talking about where there's joint ownership of the chatzar, and one of the partners who owns the chatzar leaves his behemos there for 3 years, and the other shutafim said nothing about it. So the din so that's where the Mishnah says the din that just being mamid your behemah there is not a chazaka. Lo kapti, because just leaving your behemos there, the shutafim are not going to be makbid on each other until one of them needs to use that spot in the chatzar, and then he'll say something. But if he happened to have not needed that spot for the last 3 years, he's not going to say anything. But on the chitza kapti, but you start putting a structure in the chatzar, in an area that's not meant for mechitzos, and it's not your right as a part owner of the chatzar to put a mechitza there, well, then the other partner should have said something. So it says Gemara, Ba'amad kadi lo kapti. But is that true? Are shutvim not makbid in a chatzah that's not meant to house animals? Are they not makbid when you leave your animal there? Vatnan. But don't we have a Mishnah Maseches Nedarim? Hashutafim shenadra na zemizeh. If you have two partners that take a nedar na one against the other, each one asers themselves from getting hana'ah from the other one's property. They're not allowed to go into the chatzar that's jointly owned by them, because each of them, when each one enters the chatzar, he's getting hana'a from his friend's portion of the chatzar as well, and that's a violation of his neder. So you see from that Mishnah that it is the derech of shosim to be makbid even on the other guy walking into his chatzar, because if they weren't makbid about it, then it would be considered as if he was mafkir the chatzar as far as drisas haregel is concerned, and therefore wouldn't be considered that you're getting hana'a from it. So kolshkein, if you dump your behema on the chatzar, he's makbid on a human walking in the chatzar. He's for sure going to be makbid on a behema walking in the chatzar. So that's why we need a third answer. So how do I distinguish between the case of dumping your animal in the chatzar, where we say that is not a cheskas tashmishim, and building a fence in the chatzar, where that is yes a cheskas tashmishim? So again, our first answer that we suggested was, well, whatever works as a kinyan works as a cheskas tashmishim, but we rejected that because that's not true. Second answer was that, we're talking about shutfim over here. In a chanami, dumping your animal is a cheskas tashmishim, but when it comes to shutfim, it's different because shutfim aren't makbid about that. But that's not true. We have a mission in Dharm that shutfim are makbid about it. So, Ella Amar Rav Nachum Amar Baravua, Hacha Baruchava Shalachore Bat Maskinon. Our Mishnah that talks about leaving your animal is not considered a chazaka, and building a fence is considered a chazaka. Is not talking about the typical chatzer, it's talking about the chatzer that's behind the house. To ba mad kadi lo kapti, that leaving behemoths there, people are not makbid about. Va mechitza kapti, but building a mechitza, sen tvachim tol, people are makbid about. So that's why the mechitza is a chazaka. But in the typical chatzer, which is in front of the houses, which people go in and out through, and it's used all the time, even just leaving your animals there would be a cheskas tashmishim, because people are makbid about that. So Rav Papa and Ravina go back and say, no, maybe the Mishnah actually is talking about shutafim. We had a kasha from Nedarim where we saw that people are that shutafim are in fact makbid about leaving animals in the joint property. So Rav Papa Amar Idividi Bechatzra shutafim. Ika de kapti, vika de lo kapti. Sometimes people are makbid, shutafim are makbid about it, sometimes they're not. So Gabi Mamona, when it comes to dinim mamonis, where the rights to you for each of the shutafim to use the chatzar without the other one's permission. So we go lukula. We're going to go lukula, that even though you're not allowed to use mamon chaveru without his permission, over here a shutaf is allowed to use the chatzar that belongs to both him and his shutaf without permission, because we're making and we assume that they're not going to be makbid on each other about this. So therefore, if they're not makbid, there's not going to be a chazaka. So because the second shutaf can taina to the imachsik that I am among those people who are not makbid about it. You have different personalities. Some personalities, you know, as soon as you use it for what we had agreed upon, it's not in the contract that you're allowed to use it for that, so they're right away going to jump down your throat. And other personalities, more easy going, yeah, I know we have a contract, but you know, we're partners, we're friends, whatever, it's fine. So he says, he can taina, I'm the second type. So we were partners, we were friends, it's fine, I didn't say anything. It doesn't mean that you bought the right to leave your animals here. So, Bakabe Isura, but when it comes to Isra Vahetu L'chumra, we have to be Machmir Misafi, because by Nisa Daraisa, we go L'chumra. So the Mishnah Nedarim is a question of Lo Yachal Dvaro. Ravina Amar Liolam Lo Kapti. Ravina says, no, the truth is, Shutvim are not Makbid on Drisa Saregel, and our Mishnah is therefore the way we explained our Mishnah. What about the Mishnah in Nedarim, which sounds like if shutfim are no dar no for one from the other, you're not even allowed to walk into the chutz yourself. Hamani Rabbi Lazar, that's assuming like Rabbi Lazar, who's machmir by Nedarim, and he does not allow mudra enough to get hana'a from the other guy, even with something that doesn't have too much hana'a. Titania Rabbi Lazar Omer, afilu vitor asar b'mudra hana'a. Even that which people are normally mevatara, people that are not makbid about, it's still asar for a mudra hana'a. So therefore, it's not a stira at all. In our Mishnah, we said that people are not makbid about this. Yeah, but it's still going to be a problem for Nadarim, because for Nadarim, even things that people are not makbid about, but there's some hana'ah, that's a violation of a neder hana'ah, according to Rabbi Eliezer. Now, I'm Rabbi Yochum Mishram Rabbi Bina'ah, but kol shutafin ma'akfin ze'ezeh, with all types of usages of, that are kavua in a chatzer, like behemos and tanner and kirayim, shutafim can prevent each other from doing it. If one of them wants to use the property for that usage, the other guy could say, no, you can't. That's not what this property is designated for. Chutz min ha-kavisa. Unless one of them wants to set up a kavisa, he wants to set up a laundry system. Shein darkman shal benos yisrael is bazos al kavisa. Because it's improper to force benos yisrael to go down to the river to do the kavisa, because they're not going to be able to keep their tznius properly. That's what the Rashbam writes. They're going to have to stand there barefoot. They're going to have to be megala their shok, and shok bi isha erva. It's a major discussion in poskim. What is the shok? What exactly do they have to be megala? Many of the poskim say the shok is between the knee and the ankle. Others say the shok is between is what we call the thigh. So is it the calf or is it the thigh? The implication over here is probably that it's the calf. The implication of many gemaras is actually that it's the calf. So why the conventional wisdom is that it's the thigh? It has, you know, it needs some work, but that's it is what it is. So it's not the derech of Benos Yisrael to be omer ala kvisa. Once we talk about being omer ala kvisa, the Gemara darshins a pasuk in the Navi Yishayahu. The Navi says, "Votim ein of mira uspira." It starts out by saying, "Mi yogur lanu esho chela," that who's going to be zocha to live with Hakadosh Baruch Hu, who is a consuming fire. So it says, "Someone who's votim ein of mira uspira." Some Reb Chiya Baraba zeshe in mistakel benash mishal shom dosal kvisa. That's referring to someone who doesn't look at the women when they're omer ala kvisa. So it says, "Marvel hechidami." What exactly is the case? Ikadarka achrita rashahu. If there's another path you can go by, and you, Dafka, choose to walk by the path where the women are doing the kvisa, so you're a Rasha. You're supposed to be Marchik Min Averi. You're supposed to go in a different path. Now, generally speaking, there's a sugi in the second parak of Pesachim about walking down a path where an Avera is more likely to happen versus a path where an Avera is less likely to happen in the context of Hana from Chametz. I walk down the street where there's a bakery and get Hana from the smell of the Chametz, or walk down another side of the street. So the Chavetz Chaim points out that the Gemara says that hana'as isra that comes when there's no possibility to avoid that hana'ah, but you're not trying to get that hana'ah, you're not having kavana for that hana'ah, that's mutter normally. So you're also, I would think, that I know going down this path I'm going to have this hana'ah, but I'm going down this path because it's the most convenient way for me to walk. You're still called the Rasha. So Chavetz Chaim writes, obviously histaklus is treated more seriously than other isurim, that we're more machmir in it. If there's no other way to go and I need to get somewhere, so anasu, he's an ones. So you don't have to close your eyes because the Torah patters him from being because he's an ones. So who's the Torah praising? Who's the Navi praising for closing his eyes as someone who lives with a Kodesh Baruch Hu? So the olam deleka dark achrita. We're talking about a case of where there is no other way to go. But nevertheless, you should have forced yourself to avert your gaze, to look somewhere else. That's what the pasuk is being mishabeach, that if you do that, you're a chassid. If you avert and try very hard not to look, so then a person is a chassid. How does the shirt of a Talmud Chacham look? His shirt should cover his body entirely. You should never be able, no matter how he positions his body, how he lifts up his arms or jumps or whatever, you shouldn't be able to see his flesh underneath it. Talus of Talmud Chacham Ketzal. What about the talus, the overcoat of the Talmud Chacham? Kol Shein Chaluko near Mitacht of Tefach. If only a Tefach appears of his chaluk, of his undershirt appears, then that's a Talmud Chacham's derech of tznius. Shulchan Shel Talmud Chacham Ketzal. What does the table of a Talmud Chacham look like? So Shnei Shlishi Gedil, in the width of the Shulchan, on the side where people are eating, it should be covered with the two-thirds of the table should be covered with a tablecloth. So that people are able to use the mappa, they used to use it to wipe their mouth. Ushlish, and the outer one-third, galai, it will be magud. Mula, Valav Ka'aros V'Yerek, and they would put on the part that doesn't have the tablecloth, they would put plates and pots and vegetables. V'Tabato, and the ring of the Shulchan, where they would make at the edge of the table to hang things at the end of the Suda, Mibachutz. That's on the outer side, not the side that you're eating on. V'Tanya Tabato Mibifnim, but we have another brisa that says that the Taba'as is on the inside. Lo Kasha, Hadika Yenuka, Adalaka Yenuka. When we say the Taba'as should be Bechutz, that's where there's a child in the house that sits next to his father on the side of the table, so you don't want to put the Taba'as Mibifnim, because the kid's going to play with it the whole time, he's going to flip the table around, and it's not going to be, but he's going to fidget. But when there's Laka Yenuka, so then you have it on the other side. V'Yiba Yesema, or another possibility, Hava Adalaka Yenuka, they're both talking about where there's no child. V'lo Kasha, Hadika Shama, when it says that Tabata Bibifnim, is there's a shamish at the Suda, so you have to put on Bifnim so that the shamish doesn't tear his pants on the Tabas that's on the other side of the table as he's serving. Hadaleka Shama, whereas if there's no shamish, so there's no danger of that happening. Viba Yisema, Hava Hadika Shama, they're both talking about where there is a shamish. Vlo Kasha, Habi Imama, Habaleli, when Rabbi Noah says Tabata Bibachutz, that's during the day where the shamish can be careful not to bump into it. Whereas at night, the shamash will have a harder time because it's darker. Vishal Amma Aretz, and the table of Amma Aretz is Doma L'Madura U'Kederos Makifel Sosa. It's like a Madura that's surrounded by Kederos where the fire is in the middle. Mita Shal Talmud Chacham Ketzan. What does a bed of a Talmud Chacham look like? Kol Shein Tachteh Ala Sandalin B'Yimos HaChama U'Menalin B'Yimos HaGeshamim. He has one pair of shoes under his bed and that's it. The rest of it's perfectly clean under his bed. Vishal Amma Aretz Doma L'Otzer Balam. And Amaritz's bed underneath it, it looks like it's a storage facility. He's got a whole bunch of junk that he just throws under his bed. So that's how you can tell the difference between an Hanhaga of a Talmud Chacham and an Amaritz. Tomorrow we'll pick up at the two dots. Everyone have a wonderful day.